which can never have enough. That's materially. And there's shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his gain. From his quarter, they're not looking out for the sheep. And we're seeing a strange phenomenon among the people of God today. It used to be, and the Bible says that a good shepherd will give his life for the sheep. That ain't what I've been seeing. I've been seeing the sheep die for the shepherd. That's where the turnabout has come. Everybody out here trying to strain everything they got to support a preacher. When the Bible said the preacher, a good shepherd, gives his life for the sheep. I know God said he'd take care of a man, but he didn't say that he'd live so much better than the sheep did. He's supposed to live like they do. In fact, Jesus and Paul and all the apostles and prophets lived even less than some of their affluent members. And today, though, the sheep give their life for the shepherd. I go around to some churches, and that's all they think about. They got to get a new parsonage or a new room or some new furniture or raise his salary or buy him a new car or a new suit. Now, that might be in order once in a while. But when it gets to where the people are oppressed to try to keep a shepherd in the pulpit or keep him first class, then the thing has got turned around, and God's displeased with it, to say the very least. And that's rebellion against the Word of God. And the Lord said, because of blind watchmen and ignorant watchmen and dumb watchmen, sleeping and greedy, that God's people are being devoured by the false prophets of our generation. And it's just as true as John 3:16 or any other part of the Bible is true. In Ezekiel 22, another prophet spoke up, which is characteristic of our very own generation, even more so, I believe, than Ezekiel's day. In Ezekiel 22 and verse 25, he said, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion raining the prey. They've devoured souls. They've taken the treasure and the precious things. They like to get in the offering. They want everything for themselves. They made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law. They don't care anything about God's word and his commandments. They profane mine holy things. They put no difference between the holy and profane. And they've hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princess is in the midst thereof like wolves ravening the prey. You shed blood to destroy souls and get dishonest gain. Her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. By God, the untempered mortar has been used in our generation by preachers trying to build a wall or trying to build some tower, they call it, or some impregnable place for God's people to stand the storm that's gathering. And it's built with untempered mortar. Untempered mortar won't hold bricks or blocks or stones together. They'll fall whenever the storm comes. And Jesus said you've got to build on a rock, but it can't be with untempered mortar. And that's rebellion against the Word of God. He said they divine lies to my people. When the Lord had not spoken, tell things that God did not tell. I read the letters we get almost daily from people across America. And here's what they accuse me of. They say, oh, you're legalistic. I've been set free. I have liberty in Christ. You bring us back under the law. Under the law, if God put his laws in my mind and in my heart when he saved me, then I must be under some kind of a law or discipline, or am I not? Of course you are. That's the biggest lie out of hell there is, that we don't have to keep God's commandments. If he puts them in our mind and writes them in our heart, then what did he put them there for? So we can keep them and live them, because you can't live them unless he puts them in there. And they tell me, you know, you're preaching negative. Negative your grandma. This ain't nothing negative. I preach it as positive as I can put force and scripture and determination and behind it. Praise God. If God said no, then it's no. He didn't mean yes when he said no. He said, man shall live by every word of God, and I believe that with all of my heart. And I'm not preaching legalism. I'm not preaching the law of Moses. I'm preaching the law of God. God never abrogated his law. He only abrogated Moses' law. And he puts his law in our minds and in our hearts. 10 commandments plus 1. And that was given in John 13:34 and 35. A new commandment I have given you, that you love one another, and so forth. Praise God. And those commandments are put in our law and in our hearts so we can live by them. And the Bible said in 1 John 3:4, he that committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. You don't have it just imputed to you. I know it's imputed. I know we have the righteousness of Christ, or we don't have any. But you have to live it. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You can have it imputed to you, but if you don't live it, you don't have it. It just don't stay there. So I'm not preaching legalism. I'm not preaching negativism. I preach it just as positive as God said it. Thus saith the Lord. My Lord, have mercy. If God said it, there's nothing negative about that. Liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. There's rebellion in the church against true liberty. That's Galatians 5:1. But down in verse 13, he says, brethren, you have been called to liberty. What kind of liberty, though? Be a libertine? No. To live like the world and live in the flesh? No. He said, brethren, you've been called to liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then in verse 16 he says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. You show me somebody, tell me they in the Spirit and live in the flesh, they're lying, and the Bible says they are. 1 John 2:3-4 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Isn't that evident enough? Talking about God's commandments. But he says, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Praise God, you just don't have love when you keep God's commandments. You have perfected love. Praise God, you've got to perfection in love. Then he says in verse 6 in that same chapter, 1 John 2, he said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk. How? Even as he walked. Praise God. Luke 6:40, Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. You can't be like Jesus until you're perfect in love. How do you get perfect in love? By keeping his commandments. And that means all the time. That's not on Sunday or Thursday. You don't have no escapades. It means doing it every day. And there's rebellion in the church of this generation against keeping the commandments of God. Now in Ezekiel 44:23, God said to the preachers, he said, you show my people the difference between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and the profane. It's the preacher's responsibility. I don't care if the congregation has got itching ears. I'm not going to tickle their ears. I may scratch them, but it's going to be rugged. Praise God. They ain't going to go home giggling. They're going to know they heard the word of God, which is like a two-edged sword. You know, we call people shouting and hooping and hollering like around the golden calf and call that victory. You know, back in the days of Moses, they had a prophet that could tell the difference between clean and unclean. They could tell the difference between somebody hooping and hollering had the victory and when they were out there, just the old flesh running over. God have mercy. Sound like a discotheque around some churches calling that victory. I was at a church a while back. I left. Had them old loud things in there going. Why, I'd have just soon been around a discotheque. I'll tell you the truth. Ain't got a bit of difference for it. Don't have no respect for it at all. But God, Holy Spirit couldn't do nothing around there. It was the flesh. But in Exodus 32, the Bible said Moses went up on the mountain to get those Ten Commandments that the church don't like very well in our day or any other day. And the Bible said while he was on the mountain, verse 6 of Exodus 32 said, they rose up early on the morrow when they found out Moses was gone. Boy, when they can get rid of one of them preachers that'll hit you side of the head with a sword of God's word, then people say, whoopee, he's not here now. We can do as we please. Well, that's really great, isn't it? Well, Moses was gone. The next morning they got up and they offered burnt offerings. And they brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink. And guess what? They didn't rise up to pray.